Did it happen?
That's my question.
Well, you're telling me it did happen. I'm asking you, did it happen? I'm asking the did it happen?
So you have no knowledge of that being said to Glenn or his management or anything like that?
No, I've got zero knowledge of that. There's been some reports about personality. It is literally false. It's not true. He's crystal clear what he has to do. Anyone in this room who thinks that those guys didn't have a red-hot dip at it, I mean, and any of the critics out there who don't, they're kidding themselves. Sorry, everyone, for getting grumpy. I didn't mean to get grumpy. We can talk about it after.
Oh, are the cracks starting to appear? Justin Langer under intense scrutiny after a disappointing summer with the Australian cricket side. A little bit later on, he talked about careless whispers and, of course, channeling a little bit of George Michael there. So, very interesting. Is he under pressure? I believe that was your colleague, Tom Deason, who was asking the questions. Good morning, Andrew Webster.
Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Dave. One of our cricket writers, Tom Deason, who's a fine young reporter, was the man who was asking the questions. And as a consequence, we played that interview on loop at Herald Sport all day yesterday, so we could just keep reminding him of the probing questions he asked. I think both of them handled it pretty well. I know it seemed like the JL is under pressure, but to his credit, he then apologised. And what people wouldn't have seen was after the press conference, he pulled Tommy aside and they had a frank and open discussion about the questions that he was asking. And, you know, I think that's a healthy dialogue between Australian coach and reporter. Maybe Justin Langer understood that he probably needs a bit of help from the press in the next 6 months. But you know what I find quite interesting about it? It's not a careless whisper. Like, this is all talked about by Glenn Maxwell ad nauseum from July last year all the way through to when he was overlooked for those matches against Pakistan and the UAE. I think it's just symbolic of what's wrong with Australian cricket at the moment. Like, they can't even get on the same page about what they're saying behind closed doors about selection policy. He talks about careless whispers, Justin Langer, and, you know, those critics who have no idea. Well, Ricky Ponting was one of them who talked about why or was critical of the decision not to let Glenn Maxwell go to Pakistan or even play for Australia A against India. So there just seems so messy at the moment. Boys, I know Jeff Lawson wrote an absolutely seething column last Sunday in the Sun Herald about Langer, and he also questioned why he was made Australian coach. Now, I was at the cricket for the test match, and, you know, there's some real greats of the game, Australian greats of the game, who are asking the same thing. Like, maybe there were other options. I don't know who they are, but it's certainly going to be an interesting year with the Ashes, isn't it?
Very much so. I think the big thing that we mentioned this morning is why not just tell us what Glenn and other players have to do. That's all your bloke was asking. He was doing his job.
Yes.
And that's all we want to know. And we've wanted to know for a long time because we can't work out why people are picked at the moment. And that's all we just want to know, Webby.
It was a very interesting comment just from Trevor Holmes the day before. We all know how important the Big Bash has been for the game in this country. But, you know, he was just throwing his hands in the air in that press conference talking about there's no red ball cricket. We have no red ball cricket at all to try and make a call on who should be in and out of the side. So I don't know. I'm worried. I'm worried about the Ashes, like most of the country.
Yeah, got the World Cup to come before that as well too. So a couple of massive cricket tournaments, cricket engagements coming up this year. Hey, Webby, speaking of the cricket, a really good story around Ty Anglin and Tommy Berry. Tommy took Ty to the cricket at the SCG for the test match.
It was really good to write a nice story about Ty Anglin in the Herald today. You know, there's been so much mystery around his condition since that fall in Hong Kong in late November. So Tommy Berry, who got on a plane and got over there to see Ty in Hong Kong as soon as the accident happened, he took it off his own bat to get Ty to the cricket on day two. So, you know, the fact that he was in a motorised wheelchair navigating the big crowd at the SCG, and then he was in a private room in the Noble Bradman stand, he was in really good spirits. Which shows just sort of the positive attitude of the guy. He's got a long road ahead, but I'm always constantly amazed, you know, in the racing industry, boys, about how much they rally around their own, particularly jockeys when it comes to other jockeys in really tough times. And we saw that with Tommy, you know, 4 years ago when Nathan tragically died, how all the jockeys got around him. So it's just, you know, it's a nice story. I'm sure he's going to be in many people's minds at the Magic Millions. Only 2 years ago he won, remember, on Flying Desk in the Guineas at 101. Yeah. I thought it was a nice touch, obviously, from Tommy, but also it's good news about Ty in some respects that he's, you know, he's up and he can get out. And, you know, his first public sighting since that accident.
Yeah. What about Cronulla? We've obviously seen the fallout with Shane Flanagan, etc. What's happening there? Well, do you think he will come back, and would Cronulla welcome him back?
This is a big question, Dave. It's you know, it's the game's been chattering away behind the scenes about how much Shane Flanagan is very confident that, well, it's not massively confident, but he's certainly been preparing a very strong and meticulous submission to get back into the game, along with Justin Pascoe, CEO of the Tigers, who has also been indefinitely deregistered because of that ambassador role given to Robbie Farah. They have until the end of January to get their submissions together about being allowed back into the game. The NRL, I'm very, very firm that that's not going to happen anytime soon. The reason why the integrity unit takes so long is because Nick Weeks, who's the number two there behind Todd Greenberg at the NRL, is very meticulous himself when it comes to these type of sanctions. So there's no real recourse for them to have it sort of knocked on the head. The best they can do is have it have the amount of time he's got out of the game reduced. But there's a long process and an appeal process that will drag on and on and on. As I understand it, there's not a massive appetite from some influential people at Cronulla to have him back. And I think the way that they announced John Morris's appointment last week pretty much confirms that. So what happens with Shane Flanagan beyond his appeal and that due process that has to happen with him coming back into the game will be very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting indeed. And Webby, just before we let you go, interesting story from you earlier in the week about ATC and membership and exclusivity. And I know you've written a follow-up piece. It really divided opinion with our listeners over the course of that program, didn't it? And what's interesting is the response from the general public once you did make it known, and the fact that there's a cut-off point at January 31.
I didn't realise how much interest there would be in that story, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a bold move from Jamie Barclay, who's the new CEO of the ATC. He came from the SCG Trust, where he was CEO for 17 years, and he's decided to close it and put members on a wait list or new members on a wait list from February 1. So they have had, since Monday through to my last check on Thursday, yesterday, was 300 people has signed up in 4 days to become new members or renew their membership. So that's a 400% increase on the same days as last year. So whether it was right or wrong, it's been the right one for the ATC.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the whole idea of it, right? Create some scarcity.
To make it well, their membership's apparently at a 5-year high, around 15,000 members, no doubt off the back of Winks and no doubt off the back of the success of the Everest. So, you know, with the Golden Eagle coming up as well on November 2, you know, Sydney Racing's on the up. So, you know, I know it reeks of elitism, but you know,
yes.
If it's getting membership figures like that, then I'm pretty sure they can justify why they've done it.
Well, Webby, I was speaking to your good mate Ray Thomas last night, and one of our listeners yesterday, a caller, said, "Oh, look, the biggest sporting event in 2019 may well be Winx's last run at Randwick, at Royal Randwick for the Queen Elizabeth." So they will have to shut the gates on that one, much like they did for the Everest last year.
Well, that's it. The important thing for the ACC, and I talked to Jamie about this, is that they've got a 2 to 3 year window to really maximise or really capitalise on what's what's happening in Sydney racing at the moment. You know, that's, I remember, you know, I've been there plenty of times and covered the races when Winston's has run and won, and to be standing right on that rail in the winner's enclosure at the front and turning around and you see just the stand absolutely packed there for wins, you know, it's important to say, keep going. They keep riding that wave after she retires, whenever that's going to be.
Webby, we thank you very much for your time, mate. Keep up the good stuff. Great story, as we mentioned, about Ty England. That's what it's all about, mate. And we look forward to you following that story. And, mate, we missed you up here on the Gold Coast. You'll have to get... Surely the Herald will have to send you up next year. Surely.
I was up there last year. It's such a great carnival. But let's
you can get into a lot of trouble, can't you?
Well, it's just important to stay hydrated, I find. I find that I usually hydrate too much.
Nothing wrong with that. Righto.
Good on you, boys.